Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Today is the day that you've made. We're rejoicing and we are glad in it. We're rejoicing and we are glad in it. We rejoice in you, Father. And we thank you for this opportunity, Father Yahweh, to be gathered together, as your word says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, especially since we see the days approaching. So we've come together. We've been in obedience to that. So right now, speak to us, lead us, guide us by your word and by your spirit, Father. Strengthen us right now. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We ask that you light the way. And we give it all to you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. Amen. So, we have been talking about the importance of knowledge and the importance of knowing. We're actually winding down, so if we don't finish today, we'll definitely finish next week. But he's really just opened up a lot of nuggets for us. And so what is important for us to know is that a lot of people say, I know God. Yes, you know, we're bumping into people all the time. Oh, I know God too. Yes. Oh, yes, I know him. But do you know of him, or do you really know him? Because he's given us instructions on what it means to know him. So there's going to be fruit and there's going to be evidence of knowing him, right? And so then if you just know of him, it's going to reveal itself. There are going to be some shortcomings, right? And really, to tell you the truth, you want to really know him. And so we found out that when we look at the word knowledge, the Hebrew word is da'af. Say da'af. And da'af is the kind of knowledge that has to be put in practice so that the knowledge will what? Build and build upon itself, right? And so that's what we want to do. And we found out that the Greek word for this, well, Pastor Tom, why is the Greek and the Hebrew important? Because you really want to know, don't you? Okay, so you got to dig deeper. So tell your neighbor, we got to dig deeper. Okay? And so when we dig deeper, we found out that the Greek word, ginosko, is the knowing that comes from having a relationship. So you don't really, if you know God, if you know Yahweh, then you can't really know him unless you've had a relationship with him. And so, you know, I don't believe in coming to church for religion or tradition or all of that stuff. I need you to come for relationship. Yes. You're coming because you want to know more about the Savior that you profess, that you know, that you serve, right? And so that's what we've been trying to find out about. And so the cool thing about it is that when you really know somebody, I'm going to give you an example of knowing somebody and just knowing of somebody. So we've had a couple people in our congregation that have very beautiful names, and they have very interesting spellings. So one is Langston's wife. We all call her Sade, Sade. And we'd be like, hey, Sade. Everybody says, Sade. And she says, okay, hey, praise God, how you doing? Right? And we say, yeah, Sade, come over here. And it's like, okay, she'll acknowledge it, right? But Langston pulled me over one day. He says, well, Pastor Tom, her name is not really Sharday. Well, that's what we've been calling. He said, her name is Sade. Sade. Everybody say Sade. I feel kind of stupid. Because I was like, I thought I knew the child's name. And I found out that I didn't really what? But the people that say Sade, they know her. I had the same experience with Sister Stafford. Karen, what is your name? Right? And everybody was calling you what? Her name was C-A-R-Y-N. So everybody was saying, Karen. So we said, Karen. She's like, hey. But one day her husband pulled me over to the side. And he said, you know, her name is really Karen. I was like, Corinne. I mean, her name is really Corinne. I was like, well, I was calling her Karen all this time. But it's really what? Corinne, right? I didn't really know her. And he told me they can tell the people that really know her because they'll say, Corinne. Can everybody say Corinne? I hope you don't mind. But now we know you. You need to know the person's name who you profess to know. So when you come here to 3CLA, you'll hear Yeshua. And you're saying, what is that? Well, the Savior that died on the cross, that everyone says his name is Jesus, that name did not come until 1611. So what were they calling him prior to that? Right? And so when we study and dig deeper, we found out that, okay, he's a Hebrew. He was born into that. So the actual name was not Jesus because there's not even a J in the Hebrew language. There is no J in the Hebrew alphabet. So therefore, we found out that his name was Yeshua. Wow. And then finding out that his name Yeshua, the names actually meant something. The name means that he will save. He will deliver. So anybody a recipient of knowing the one who will save and deliver, and he saved and delivered you, and you know him by his name now. Anybody like that? But we gotta, that comes with what? Knowing and a relationship. When you're in a relationship, you wanna know as much as you possibly can. So that's why the surface knowledge don't do no more. It's not good enough. And so I'm so glad that we live in a day and age that I can say his name is not Jesus, his name is Yeshua. Google it. Tell your neighbor, Google it. That's all you got to do. And so when we look at that, right, we find truth, right? And so that's what we need. We need the genosko. So I need you to turn to 1 Yohanan. We love to use the Hebrew names. John is the English. Yohanan is the true Hebrew name. So 1 John or 1 what? Yohanan. All right. And so we want to go to the second chapter. Hallelujah. And the third verse. Anybody want to dig deeper? Amen. Amen. We got to dig deeper. And so I love this. So when we go to 1 John or 1 Yohanan, the second chapter, right? The third verse. And it says this. And hereby, stop. Hereby means by this. Say hereby, hereby. Means by this. So when we say, and hereby, it means, and by this. We do know that we know him. We do genosko. Why? That we genosko him. So now there is a attribute to really knowing him. And it is. And by this, we do know that we know him if we what? So there's a lot of people that says, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm a good person, it doesn't matter, I can do whatever I want, and he loves me, according to this. The folks that really know him, and if you look up those, both of those no's, if you look up the root of that, which is in any concordance, you'll see Greek genosko. And it means, and hereby we do know, we have the knowledge of knowing, that we know, have a relationship with him, if we what? Keep his commandment. So therefore, what are his commandments? It's his word, and I love to say this. I don't want to say the law, I want to say his instructions. His teaching. What he's saying that is going to help you navigate this life, because I don't know about you, but I need help navigating this life. I don't just need help, I need help. Because there's a whole lot of stuff out there, and I need all the help I can get. Tell your neighbor, do you need help? If you need help, keep his commandments. Right? And by this we know it, right? And so the next verse says, he that saith, I know. He that saith, I know him, or I genosko him. I have a relationship with him. But keep not his commandments. Ooh. I hate to say that word, because when I was a kid, we would get popped in the mouth if we said that word. We couldn't say liar. My mother would say story. But now that I'm grown, I can say it. So he said, he that saith, I know him or genosko him, but keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar. Somebody says, and the truth is not in him. Somebody say, and the truth is not in her. That's neuter gender. That's mankind. It's not in him or her, right? So he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Wow, I don't want to be a liar. I want to know that I know him. And I want the evidence or the fruit of that is that I keep what? His commandments. Simple instructions on how to live and how to navigate this life. Go to the fifth verse. So it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Yahweh, God perfected. Now, you'll see the name Yahweh or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That is the actual true name of God. There's a lot of gods out there, the professor. But the God that we know as the creator, the one it is overall, the only one and true living God, he has given us the benefit of actually knowing his name. And that Yod Hey Vav Hey basically means this: I am whatever I want to be, I'm wherever I want to be, I'm whatever be, I will be. I will be. He can do anything. So when we acknowledge that name, hallelujah, then the Hebrew points us to that name. So if we verily is the love of Yahweh or God perfected, what does perfected mean? It's working, it's maturing, right? Hereby, somebody say by this. Know that we are in him. So when we see this love manifested, right? When we see our lives lining up with the word, then we can say, what? We know him and we are in him. And the sixth verse says this. I love the way it wraps it up. He that saith he abideth in him, meaning if you're saying that you're in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Wow. So if you have a relationship with him, you're going to walk just like what? He walked. Whatever he did, what are you going to do? What he did. Whatever he says, you're going to say what he says. I love that. That's not what the Hebrew means, right? You're following the pattern. So then when we go to that, just to make you understand, the movie, coming to America. I love to go to the movies because then you guys really understand what I'm talking about, right? And so you had Eddie Murphy, the king. And you had the bride that he was supposed to be with. And he says, well, what do you want to do? She says, whatever you like. Well, wherever you want to go? Whatever you like. Basically, she's saying, whatever you, I'm taking your lead. Whatever you do, I'm going to do that. We need to take the same attitude with the God that we serve. Where are we going to go? Father, wherever you lead. What am I going to say? Whatever you tell me to say, Father. What am I going to do? Whatever you tell me to do, Father, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do nothing unless it's ordained by you, because I want to be blessed. I want to be in you. And an indication that I am in you is that whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. Anybody in him? Just check it. So I love that. So we got to go deeper. And so it's interesting because the Bible always speaks of mysteries, right? Go to Matthew. Mysteries come when you dig deep. And so one of the interesting things about an indication, well, why y'all go to the Hebrew and all of that? Because it's true. Did you know that you are actually speaking a bunch of Hebrew words and you had no idea that you were speaking it? Let me give you an example. There are two words in the church vernacular. What is vernacular? The church language, what we say. That we say all of the time. And one of them is hallelujah. And the other one is amen. Somebody say glory. That, yeah, you do. We do that too. But these are, if you wanted to say the top two words, it would be hallelujah and amen, right? And so, well, where does that come from? Well, let's try amen first. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? And so when we look at the faith, the English word faith, we think, oh, faith just means that we believe really strongly. But if we look at the Hebrew word, it's emunah. Say emunah. The Hebrew word for faith is emunah. And what does emunah mean? Emunah means steadiness. It's firm, it's deeply rooted. It's true to rely on. That means it's so true, it's so deeply rooted, it's so unmovable that you can rely on it. Amen. And he's saying without that belief, without that faith, without living in that, it's impossible to please him. So therefore, it's not, you can't just look at faith, the English word, you need to look up the emunah, because emunah goes deeper than that. So because emunah means steadiness, firm, true, and to rely on, guess where the root word of emunah is? It's aman. Say aman. So in Hebrew, aman means firm, something that is supported or secure. So every time you see amen when we say prayer, and when you see it in the word in the Bible, it means it's already supported. You can rely on it. It's secure, it's firm. So when we say, hey, he's worthy to be praised, your response would be, amen. Amen. Which means it's what? It's done, it's supported, it's secure. And you had no idea that amen was actually aman. See, what you thought was when the church said, when they said, let the church say amen. And because it's a man up there, basically you're saying, amen. Some people believe that. What is amen? Hey, yeah, yes, man. No. It means aman. Somebody say aman. So truthfully, when you say amen, you really should be saying aman. Somebody say aman. See, now we'll know who really knows him. Because I said, let the church say. Amen. Somebody said amen. That's okay, we're learning. The next word is hallelujah. You're like, well, why are y'all saying Yahweh for God? Well, let's break it down. First, we start with a hallelujah. And it's usually spelled H-A-L-L-E-U-J-A-H. Well, there is no J in the Hebrew, number one. So it's really hallelujah. And the second factor is that that hallelujah means praise. And then the second part, Yah, means God or Yahweh. It means, so pronounce Yahweh. So basically, when you say hallelujah, you're saying praise Yahweh. His name, or that piece of his name, was always in your praise. And people say, hallelujah is the highest praise. Well, amen then. If hallelujah is the highest praise, and we're saying hallelujah, then his name is the highest name that there ever is. So basically, we're taking the highest praise and we're giving it to the highest name. But now, since you know the truth, you can say hallelujah or praise Yahweh. Can I have the church say hallelujah? And what does that mean? Can we get some praise up in here then? You've been saying it. You've been saying it all along. All these years, you were a Hebrew scholar and you didn't even know it. Didn't know what it meant. Now you know what it means. So that's why we do the things that we do, and we say the things that we say, and we acknowledge them. It don't make no difference. Yes, it does. Because basically what you're saying there is truth. What is this? This is truth. It's not just surface knowledge. This is the truth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time going to church and saying churchanese and saying stuff. Why am I saying hallelujah? I want to know why I'm saying hallelujah. Why am I saying amen? I want to know that I'm saying. I don't want to just follow the crowd and be like, amen, amen, amen. I want to know that when I say amen, that means it's firm. That means it's secure. That means it's done. That's what you want, right? And so now that we understand that, we can start talking the right stuff. We can start doing the right stuff. So right now, let's go to Matthew. Netanyahu. And we're going to go to the 13th verse. All right. So listen, the 13th verse. The importance of digging deeper. This is the important thing of knowing. And we're going to put what we learned last week along with what we're learning this week. The importance of digging deeper. We need to understand why. Why are we committed as a church to digging deeper? Because there's some stuff that, some knowledge and some nuggets that we are going to change our life. We call it revelation. And so let me set this up for you. Yeshua was with his disciples, and they were like, you know, going around talking to the multitudes. You know, people that believed, some people that didn't believe. And so, basically, he had to talk to them in parables. What are parables? It's just a way of using metaphors and using ways to speak to them so that they could understand. So, basically, the 10th verse says this. And the disciples came and said unto Yeshua, they said unto him, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you going, you know, saying it this way in different ways? So the 11th verse says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know. Stop. It's given unto you to genosko. Right? Who is you? Look at your neighbor and say, it's you. Say, look at them again, say, it's us. It's us. The folks that profess to know him, that say we know him, he's turning around to us and he's saying, it's given unto you to genosko, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So when I looked up the word mysteries, because we think, oh, mysteries, well, why is he doing mysteries? Why is he like, why it got to be mysterious? Why can't he just put it up and make it plain? Well, mysterion is the Greek word for mysteries. And the beauty about the word mysterion is this. It says, the mysterion means something quite interesting. It means this. It's not given to hide it so that it can't be found. But it's given to you that is not obvious on the surface. What he's basically saying is that it means hidden things that are not obvious to the surface understanding, but they're meant to be revealed with diligence. Wow. So basically, I'm going to make up a word, but I've heard it before, but I like this. It's already good on the surface, but if you start digging into the mysteries, it gets gooder and gooder. Because the mysteries, the things that you uncover, become, you know, revelation. You'll be like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know that was there. And then you'll be like, oh, wait a minute. What's that? It's like this. I lose stuff. I do. My assistant knows, Justin knows. I lose stuff. And so, it's interesting because when I lose stuff, I'm getting better. I'm what's the word I can give you? That I am perfecting. I'm getting better. But when I lose stuff, and when I actually do, anybody lost anything? Y'all looking at me like, yeah, I ain't never lost nothing. Some of y'all lost something this morning. You still don't know where it is. And so I found that when I'm looking for what I lost, and I really start digging deep, I'll find some other stuff that I had lost. And I'll be like, wait, hey, where'd that come from? I was looking for that. And then, whoa. And so by the time I get to looking for the thing that I started to search for, I done got about 3 or 4 things that I done found. That's how the word is. That's how mysterion is. It means that you'll start digging deep, looking for those mysteries to be revealed. And while you're looking for that, oh, he'll give you revelation. Now you're like, hey, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? And then you look over to the right and, oh, you done found something else. And by the time you get all the way down to what you was looking for, he done blessed you. So if I can show you what that looks like, you'd be like, hey, oh, wow, hallelujah. Meaning that you, every time you find something, you just, how do y'all respond when you found something that you? Okay, so give me a response. You done found the first thing that you was looking for. One thing you. And while you was looking for that, you found the second thing. And then you found the third thing. And to wrap it all up, you done found all 4 things. That's what mysterion is. They're not hidden so that they can't be found, but they're hidden so that they will be found as long as you are diligently seeking it. And every time you're diligently seeking it, he's gonna bring something to you. He's gonna reveal something to you. You were looking for something on peace, and then you found a situation about love that you can use, that you need to use that on your job because you're having some love struggles, but you was looking for peace. But he's saying, hey, I'm giving you peace, but you need to get this love thing right first. And then when you get that love thing right first, you're going to get the peace. Because it's all what? Connected. So he says to them, he was like, okay, the reason why I'm giving them parables is because basically, it's given unto you guys to know what? The mysteries. And he said, of the kingdom. But to them, it's not given. They're not trying to know. You know, you're making an attempt to know. And I'm giving you the opportunity to really know me. So I'm giving you a privilege. I'm giving you an opportunity to find out what these mysteries are. When he says, he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you. So that we know that, let's go to here. Let's go to where we left off last week was Matthew. And I can open this up a little bit to make this connection. Real quick, Matthew, Matityahu, the fourth chapter. So in the Hebrew culture, when you were 6 years old, you went into schooling and you started learning the scriptures and all that. So by the time that you were 14 years old, you had reached this point of a rabbi actually deciding that he was going to choose you. And if you had gone through all that schooling from 6 to 14, and if a rabbi did not think that you had what it took, if a rabbi did not believe that you were going to be knowledgeable enough, he would say, okay, your schooling is over. Go on and learn a trade. Because basically, you're not good enough to make the cut. So for a rabbi to say, follow me, or as last week, we found out that the Hebrew terminology for follow me was lech aharai. Say lech aharai. And that means learn from me. Do the things that I do. Imitate me. So if you really wanted to know the Savior, or you really wanted to know the rabbi, you would follow him. So if a rabbi didn't tell you to lech aharai, then that means that you need to learn how to go fishing. You need to learn how to make some fabric. You needed to go and kick rocks, basically. He was saying, find something to do because you can't follow me. You can't imitate me. You're not going to make the cut. So Matthew, the fourth chapter, the 18th verse says, in Yeshua. Hey, hallelujah. Let me let you know something. Yeshua was a rabbi. He was all schooled up. He had done all of the teaching and everything. He was a straight R. Say rabbi. And rabbi was this. Yeshua walking by the Sea of Galilee. Saw two brethren. Simon called Peter or Kepha. And Andrew his brother. And they were what? Casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Okay, so why was Kepha and Andrew fishing? They didn't make the cut, y'all. The rabbi didn't think that they were good enough. But here comes this rabbi that they had never seen before. And if a rabbi told you, lech aharai, if he said, follow me and imitate me, no matter what they were doing, immediately they dropped everything and they started following him. So Yeshua found these dudes casting a net into the sea where they were fishers. And then the 19th verse says what? And he said unto them, lech aharai, follow me, imitate me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they what? They dropped their nets. And I was wondering, I was like, how are these dudes just gonna drop their nets? It didn't make sense to me. But now that I dug deeper, I knew that if a rabbi told you, let's go, you hit the lottery. If he said, follow me, that was like getting an Ivy League education. And so he said, straightway, they left their nets and what? Followed him. And then the 20 verse says what? And going from thence, they saw two other dudes. James, Yaakov, the son of Zebedee, and John, Yohanan, his brother. So in a ship with Zebedee, they're what? So picture this. You got a father with his two sons fishing and mending their nets. And Yeshua called them. And 22 says what? Picture this. They immediately left the ship and their father. Hold up. You got a father that you got two sons and they're taking care of the family business? And then you got a stranger that comes by and say, lech aharai, follow me. And they just gonna drop their nets and leave daddy? And check this out. Daddy gonna let them go? That didn't make sense to me. Because if I had two sons and we doing strong sons and I'm older and they mending nets and they fishing, I'm like, hold up, y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all need to help me catch this trout, catch this tilapia. And while you out there, give me some lobsters and some shrimps and some squirrels. But the daddy knew that if a rabbi said that their sons were good enough, y'all better drop these nets and you better go on and follow him. So that's what he did. So now I was like, wow, it makes sense now. Because otherwise, it's just, I would be concerned. It was like, this dude has some kind of hypnotic effect on these guys? Like, he done said, follow me. Nah, he just said, you're good enough. All the other rabbis passed you by. All the other rabbis thought that you were JV, but I'm putting you on a varsity team. We're going to be champions. This is a championship team that I'm making right now. And so you always had a dude in, when the rabbis were being followed, an older guy that kind of was an example for the other ones. Because remember, these guys were about 14, 15 years old, except one of them. Let's go here. Wow, you mean some 15 and 16 or 14-year-old dudes turned the world upside down? Yes. There was one, though, that was a little older than the rest of them. And we find out, let's go here. Let's go to Matthew Matityahu, the 14th chapter. So there was always going to be that older disciple that was going to kind of be an example. He was the one that was going to really like stick closer to the rabbi. And then the other younger ones were kind of like try to emulate that. So when we go to Matthew, I found out in study that this guy had to be 20 because he was having a conversation with Yeshua about taxes. Well, you did not pay taxes unless you were like 20 years old. So for this guy to have a conversation about taxes, he had to be 20 years old because he was talking about paying taxes. Who was this guy? Well, let's find out. 25th verse. And in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went into them walking on the sea. So he's going to the ship and he's just gliding in the water. Now, the Jewish people, the Yehudins at the time, and still do believe that the sea is this great abyss. The sea is just this area that you're supposed to be afraid of. You know, you're supposed to really be wary. And then you got the rabbi just gliding on the water, just walking on the water, right? And the 26th verse says what? And when the disciples saw Yeshua walking on the sea, they were troubled. This man is walking on the great abyss, saying, it's a spirit. Basically, if I can translate this for you in today's, it's a ghost. It's a spook. Well, don't say that. Don't say that. But it's a scary thing. And they were like, oh my God, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You had him he was just gliding on the water. And the 27th verse says what? But straightway Yeshua spake unto them. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So can I give you the urban translation of what he said? Hold up, y'all. It's me. Stop tripping. Don't worry about nothing. It's just me. I'm doing what I do. I'm gliding on the water. I'm operating in my divine power and authority. I ain't worried about these waves. These waves ain't got nothing on me. I got this. And 28 verse says, Kepha. Kepha was the 20-something year older. He was the older one. He was the one that would do stuff and initiate stuff, and the other ones would be like, oh, wow. He's... And Kepha thought he was all that. But did he do that because he thought he was all that? Remember, it was his job to lech aharai. It was his job to follow the rabbi. It was his calling to imitate the rabbi. And so basically what he's saying, whatever my savior does, whatever my rabbi does, that means I can do it too. All I got to do is just do what he does. And so that's why Kepha said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out, because I'm going to follow what you do. And if you bid me, if you tell me to come on, then I'm coming out there. I'm going to walk on the water too. I'm going to do what you do. Because you told me to lech aharai. You told me to imitate you. You told me to do the things you do. So if you're gliding on the water, that means I can glide too. And so the 29th verse says, Yeshua said, come on. You bad? You imitating? You got the right stuff. I chose you. You're good enough. You're able. You have the ability because I'm demonstrating it. So just come. And when Kepha was come down out of the ship, he actually walked on the water. He was imitating. Whatever his rabbi did, whatever his rabbi had the power to do, he was actually operating in the same power of the rabbi. He was actually taking steps. And he walked on the water, and he was going straight to Yeshua. He actually was doing it. He took a few steps. But then the 30th verse came. See, that's what's wrong with y'all. On the 29th verse, you cool. And you actually start the process, but then the 30th verse comes. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he got started getting afraid. And because he started looking at the waves and the wind, it started getting him scared. And he said, it began to what? And as he began to sing, he said, Lord, save me! Which is the best prayer that you could possibly. See, people be like, oh, and Father, I just ask in your infinite. He's just like, dude, you don't have to do all that. Just say, save me. Help me. And the 31st verse said what? And immediately Yeshua stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou little faith, wherefore you were doing it. And then you started looking at the circumstances. If you had just kept your eyes on me, you would have made it all the way across to where I was. Because you were doing it. Somebody say, he was doing it. And all he had to do was keep his eyes on his rabbi. The beauty of it is that Yeshua picked some folks that he knew had what it took, and Yeshua believed that he could walk across that water because he had everything at his disposal. And basically he's telling you, you guys that say you know me, stop looking at the wind. Stop looking at the waves. Stop looking at the circumstances. If I said that I was going to bring you through something, you better believe if you keep your eyes on me, you're going to make it to the other side. And there's somebody here that you are trying to make it to the other side, and you keep on getting scared, and you keep on tripping, and he's saying, stop doing it. doing that, keep your eyes on me. Keep your focus on me. And if you keep it on me, I'm going to bring you through everything. Is there somebody who is going to follow him, who's going to keep their eyes on him no matter what? Come on, give it to him. He's going to do it. He's going to manifest it. That's what he does. And as long as you keep your faith in him, you're going to do it. Keep on saying it. If there's something that you are trying to get through this week, or you know somebody trying to get through something, focus on that for a moment. Okay. Focus on that. Focus on that. Think about what his word says. Think about his promises. Think about what he said he was going to do. Regardless of what the situation looks like, regardless of what people say, regardless of what people said, that there was a possibility that we weren't going to be able to have this place. But look where we are now. We kept our eyes on him, and he actually delivered this. Whatever it is that you believe in Yahweh for, believe it. And the beauty of it is the choir already set it up. They said a right now praise. So you don't have to wait until it happens, until you get to the other side. You can praise him right now. So what he's saying is, thank me for it right now. Praise me for it right now. For your work. Thank you, Father, that everything that you do is yay and amen. Yay and amen. Yay and amen. So we can praise you. We can give you the highest praise because we know that you're worthy of it. So right now, Father, no matter what we may be challenged with, we know that you're bigger than any circumstances. We know that you're bigger than any problem. We know that you reign above all. So we believe you. We trust you. We're going to lech ahuah. We're going to follow you. We're going to imitate you. We're going to do the things that you do. We're going to say the things that you say. We're going to decree the things that you decree. Continue to guide us. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and all of the thanksgiving. And we do this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Somebody thank him. Somebody thank him. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. Bow your head for just a moment because I cannot let this opportunity. I know that we're already over time, but I have to take this moment really quickly, really quickly. So everyone, please keep your head bowed. If you want to initiate this genosko, you're saying, hey, you know what? I really have heard the word this morning, and I really want that genosko. I want that knowing that comes from relationship. But I know that I haven't really had the relationship that I need, and I desire that. We can pray for you for that. And all you have to do is just raise your hand. So if you want that relationship, relationship. You say, you know, today I want that relationship. I really want that initiated in my life. It can happen. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you today. Awesome. Maybe you had a relationship, but you're not as close as you used to be. And you're saying, hey, listen, I need to rededicate. I need to restore. I need restoration. You're saying, hey, pray for me. I need restoration in my life. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for that. We'll pray for restoration. Pray for restoration. Maybe you say, you know what? I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure where I stand. I'm not sure. I mean, I thought I had a relationship. I thought I knew, but I'm just not sure. I just really need confirmation. And I need information. I need someone to pray with me for that. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for that. That it's all clear to you that you can walk in that relationship. Hallelujah. So keep your head bowed, Father. We thank you and praise you, Father, for everyone, Father, that you've gathered together in this time, in this place. Thanking you and praising you, Father, for your resurrection power that you've demonstrated to us. And right now, Father, we just ask that for those that needed ministry too, that we're in one of those categories, continue to minister to them the importance of seeking you, of being in your presence, of pursuing a relationship with you, of following you. Because all the blessings, and we will know that we know them if we do his word, and all those blessings will follow. Keep them, protect them. We give you glory for it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Right. At this time, really quickly, we want our ushers to come to give those that didn't get an opportunity to participate.